See, and then the chat just comes over here.
What's up, party people?
See, just said you're live.
Well, here we are. Can I fix my hair while we're live?
Yes, you can. That's the beauty of the no breaks. Haven't had a second to fix our ponytail. Yeah. No breaks with Jamie Erdahl. Normally the sign is behind me and you all know my face and listen to me just go for 20 minutes yesterday by myself, which was boring.
Which we like.
Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, guys. I'm Gina, Jamie's producer for Good Morning Football.
Yeah, this is true. And Gina normally is in the control room. Yes. And Gina, wait, what's your TikTok handle?
At G Produces.
Okay, so go follow her because she does a lot of cool, like, behind the scenes TV stuff. And Gina, though, they let her out of the studio. They let her out of California.
They set me free.
And they set you
free. On the loose.
You're field producing this week. How does that feel different from what you normally do?
You know, it's really different. The control room is very set. We know what we're doing.
You know where to sit. You know where to sit.
Everybody has their place in the show, which everybody has a very important part of the show. But, you know, sometimes when you're in the control room, you see the action happening outside of the control room. Yeah. It's like, wait, I want to be
that's a good point because, you know, you're always in charge of, like, you know, making sure our reporters who kind of come into the show, especially when they're on these remote shoots, you're like getting them set, getting them checked in. What are you guys going to talk about? Whatever. So did you wonder like what it was like out in the field?
Oh yeah. I mean,
and so now what do you think?
It's well, first being in the action is so like exciting. Mm-hmm. It's just exciting to get out into a different scene.
Yep.
Just to be with the people, be with the excitement. So it's that part of it's just exciting in general. Mm-hmm. But it's also a lot of work. It's a lot of making sure things stay on track in a way, which in the control room, it's more controlled.
Yeah.
Out here, it's not as controlled. It's more, you know, loose and you kind of have to get things together more.
And you guys also, like, in the control room, I feel like you're constantly needing answers for things. Yeah. And you're like, because you're trying to keep it in this perfect, like, set. Stone way. Whereas like when you're on the field, now, like, this is chaos.
Yeah.
Like, and now you,
it's a fun chaos. It's a good chaos. And it is different when I'm on the other side of things. Yeah. So normally, like you said, I'm in the control room, hearing what's going on, hearing what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Being here. And then I'm talking to them like, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's just both sides of it are very different, but exciting in their own way.
Okay. So funny thing happened today. I had my camera kind of like, I'm just going to look at the no brace camera. Then I had a monitor right beneath me and I could see the show and I could see when I was on and off camera, whatnot. And doing the show back in LA, again, I kind of like know the beats well enough that I didn't have like a script. I had something on my phone, but we throw it on Thursday, right? And I was looking at the questions. I was like, all right, I got these in my brain. It's fine. And you were like stationed just off the camera. And I think you could tell this one moment where I was like, couldn't quite remember the question.
No, I was.
You were nodding. You were like, yes,
you can do it. Yes. You know, you remembered that John Cena was New England. Yes. And the other guy was from
New York.
Yeah. And that's when I was like, nailed it.
Because I don't want to say John Cena's from New York.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't know that other. I still don't know that other wrestler's name. I just
Farley? Farley? McFlurry?
McFowler?
Yeah.
Something like that. The candy man or the mask, the sock. Yeah, he was wearing like a sock on his hand.
But you know he's from New England.
Think about it. No, he's from New York.
Whatever.
So anyways, you were like next nodding along so seriously.
Happy.
And I was like, okay, good. Validated.
You didn't look at your phone in the moment.
No.
You did not.
I was like, I'm just, you know what it was? I was like, if I can get through John Cena's from New England.
Yes.
This is my logic.
Yes.
And if that, I knew eventually, I think the question would come up on the screen and I was like, I can bank, but I
waiting to see the top guys, or the bottom.
Yeah. The other guy's name. Yeah. Right. So yeah, you were just like,
I was so
nodding.
That was it. Nailed it. Those moments, you know.
So that's cool. We're glad that you're getting out and field producing.
It's fun.
But you're so explain, like, actually this was new to me. I had actually never heard the term line producer because well, coming from the game side of things at CBS, there's just game producers, game directors, whatever. And then you people have these different roles in a TV truck. Working on a show, I just thought the word producer meant that person's in the chair.
Right.
But that's a line producer.
Yes. Line producer is the person in the ear who goes line. So we have what the rundown is. We call it the rundown.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes second by second.
Second by second. Like, it's crazy. You guys watch GMFB.
Mm-hmm.
The rundown will have, like, let's say Kyle Brandt, who is doing a segment on theirs, and he has five different games from the 70s that he's going to talk about.
Which he likes to do.
Every line in the rundown will have a, like, 1971, you know, 40 seconds. It has all this information.
It'll have what tape he's going to talk about, how long is that tape, what is he talking about over that tape.
Mm-hmm.
It goes line by line, second by second in the show, which the line producer, the timing is the most difficult part because it's such a balance between, okay, let's stick to that example.
Yeah.
Kyle has this 70s thing he wants to talk about that he's really into and it's great. But let's say we have so many things in this hour. I only slotted 8 minutes originally for this.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, 7 minutes in, you're like, this has to go longer.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's a feel. Yes. There is like a timed like suggestion.
It's just like all an instinct sudden, like, where it's like, no, this is good. This is good TV and I don't want to stop this. So instantly your head is like, okay, I slotted 8 minutes. It's going to go 10. Now I have to get 2 minutes back somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That line produced, that I would say is the most challenging part because it's a gut thing where it's like, I could have cut him off at that 8 minutes and mm-hmm. said, hey, we got to go to break. But is that what's best for the show in that
right,
moment?
Right. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too, is like Gina and I, and then there's a couple other people that do line producing on the show because it would be almost impossible. Mick Foley was the wrestler, by the way, the chat.
Thank you.
Thanks. And then Bubba.
Shout out.
Thanks for this. Thanks for the correction. The line producer, you and I, and whoever's mm-hmm. in the chair, but again, we'll use us as an example. Like you and I are probably in the most contact, like throughout any given show.
Yeah,
I would because say so. Gina will say things to me like, no. If we're, let's say we're at the top of the hour, we're doing the first segment, throwing on Thursday, whatever. Mm. And actually, that's a bad example. Let's say we have one topic for a first segment, okay? And it's we just kind of stumbled into it as a boring topic, and you're like,
it happens.
You will get in my ear, and you'll be like, oh no, can you get me to 13 after? Cause like, it's a timing game.
It's all timing.
So you're thinking about way longer than the hour and you just put it, our teamwork is you put it on me to like, within the parameters of the show. That's why sometimes when things go off the rails, I try to push them off the rails because I'm like, this will take 90 seconds to get through this inside joke.
Yeah.
So you are the one who's in my ear saying like, I got to get to 13 or like, Jamie, get me out of here.
Right. Cause it's like you said, if it's something like, okay, we have 13 minutes in. But again, 8 minutes in, it feels like this conversation's dying down.
Mm-hmm.
Extending that time is not what's best, and it's not mm-hmm. the best TV. And that's where we have a lot of like trust and nonverbal communication. Where if I can see you on your face and say like, "This isn't it, let's get out of here," but if I'm looking at you and you're like, "No," I'm like, I can see Jamie's forming something that she wants to talk to Manti, and that's going to make it go over. I'm not going to stop that because you know where this needs to go.
For anybody that watches GMFB, mm-hmm. which I feel like a lot of people who watch the live edition of No Breaks, they know that we have said on the show a lot before, like, oh, our mm-hmm. production staff is their Eagles fans, right? So you're from the Philly, South Jersey area. She would be one of the people mm-hmm. that we always say, like, oh, our whole production staff, Eagles fans. So the one that made me laugh recently was when I think we were power ranking.
That was it.
Teams, NFL or NFC? Yeah. I think just in the NFL.
No, I think, top five teams.
Top five teams.
Who's the best team in the NFL?
It was like a month ago.
Yeah.
And again, like, I got to listen to the guys that are talking as they're going, but also these guys are in my ear too, like just mm-hmm. with traffic, is what we call it.
Yes.
So, and also, what if I miss something and they like to provide gentle suggestions? So,
gentle, harsh.
So, the guys were listening top five and three of the guys had gone and none of them had listed.
The Eagles. And they were like 6-1 at the time.
Yes.
But they had just got their first loss.
Yes.
So it was weird. Nobody had them on their top five.
Eagles,
and
right.
we're in the control room like.
And you.
Panicking like, there's no way nobody has the Eagles on their list right now.
Yeah. And you and another guy who is an Eagles guy mm-hmm. from Philly got in my ear. And again, it's like a symphony of just like. Nobody has the Eagles on. And like, it was you two, both voices. Kyle was just droning on about his top five. And I was just like, this is hilarious. Yeah. Like, normally it's just traffic and it's look at this camera, mm-hmm. look at that camera, this is a way of coming up. And you guys, like, so there's also some editorial checking sometimes too.
And like, you know, like something we're like, oh, when did that happen? What game was that? And then all of a sudden we're in the control room looking it up real quick. And then I'm like, Jamie, it was week six.
Yeah.
Things like that too. But mostly, like you said, it's mostly the traffic, the guidance. Is that a fair word? Like, guiding where the show needs to go. You know, we have to hit a certain commercial breaks, we have to hit certain sponsors,
there's
certain
things that we have to do. 57-00
Right, so there's certain things where it's like some things you want to, but some things we have to do. Mm-hmm. We have to hit our commercials, we have to hit our sponsors, and that's where it's like
mm-hmm.
keeping that on track, mm-hmm. like making sure that doesn't go off the rails.
And we do this other stuff too in the show, and these are like these little nuanced things that people probably be interested in, but we just never talk about them, which is to your point, the sponsorship thing is that we will do a sponsorship for NFL Network, but then it can't air like in this other show that we do, GMFC Overtime.
Yes.
And so we'll play this game where one of us will do this read for one of the sponsors. We're not going to give them any air, but we'll do a read. Let's just say it's like for this water bottle. Like, so this is brought to you by this water bottle company. Yeah. And then you guys will be like, pause, hold, because you want a clean edit.
Yeah. So that when we take that and we put it into the next show, you can't hear the sponsor, but you need a clean in. So we're like, don't talk. And go.
Okay, this is like, it's a puzzle piece.
It is.
Puzzle pieces.
It all has to fit together. And you want to make sure everybody's able to talk. Everybody feels like, you know, they get their time to say what they want to say.
Yeah.
But you want to make sure the segment's the best that it is. And if it's not, We don't want to force it. So it's like finding that balance of like, what's the best thing for the show right now? Mm-hmm. What do we, but also checking the boxes that we have to check.
Because you came on this trip last week, normally you produce Wednesdays mm-hmm. and like sometimes Fridays. Yeah. If you jump yeah. around. Last week, because this trip, you produced Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
Which meant
Angry Wednesday.
Angry Runs Tuesday, which meant.
Yeah.
I yep. cannot. You don't like, again, yeah. somebody wrote like, oh my God, so much math. It is a lot of math. It is, but it's like math. Math, which makes it easier for some reason.
I'm very lucky. We have ADs that sit to my left.
Associate directors.
Yes. Associate yep. directors. And I'll look at them and be like, I need you to tell me what time I need to be out of this segment yeah. so that I have this amount of time for the next segment.
Right.
And they're the ones who are doing the math for me. And I without them, they're a vital part of the show because they're yeah. like, okay, boop, boop, boop. You got to be out of this by 5:46 yeah. to have 5 minutes in your next segment. And then I said, okay, can I have a countdown clock, please? Because then
yeah.
without a countdown clock, I'm doing time math. Like,
yes.
okay, 8 minutes at totally, this time totally, means totally. I have, can you just give me a countdown clock so and I can also, see how long?
That's all well and good. And that's yeah. great math. That's, but then you have yes. Kyle Brandt, who is yeah. just like, oh, I'm going to do what I want to do. So yeah. the funny thing about Tuesdays, Anger on Tuesdays, is that we have to be out by, I think it's like 53, right?
Yes.
In order to have like a 30 second
last block. So we call it drop dead time. So my drop dead is 53.
Yeah.
That will leave me 30 seconds for the last segment to say goodbye to the hour. And when that Angry Runs is going and you're like, okay,
yeah.
52:30. So, yeah,
exactly. Okay. Oh no, actually before that, like yeah. I'm sitting there watching him do Angry Runs and mm-hmm. I know you guys are getting all the tapes ready. Like mm-hmm. it is, I just sit in silence because I'm like, I know the control yes. room is in their feelings right now.
Yep.
So it is a full blown orchestra. So he's doing his pictures and his street mm-hmm. team and the guy who won last week.
Yeah.
And then he goes to start the week one.
The new,
and it's like at 48. Yes. I was like, oh my gosh, oh my God, he's going to get 3 nominees yeah. in and we're going to have to vote.
Yeah.
So I literally turn him in and I go, you're going to have to say one word.
Yeah. And Jamie knows because I'm about to get in here and say, quick,
you better
be quick on this reaction. Because to Kyle, though, it's such a classic.
It is.
He's so good at it that it's like, I don't want to cut it off because it's so good. But again, there's things we have to do. Mm-hmm. We can't get around it.
And there's like continuity issues too. So like we don't want to leave the voting for the next segment. It has to all exist.
Yeah.
But he gets into such a zone that it is hard, I think, on you guys to communicate with him. Like for him to be screaming about whatever he's screaming about that day. And they're like, Kyle, you only have 90 seconds left. Like that's not going to register.
It's not registering because Kyle's very much like in.
It's like a performance
in
art.
Character.
Yes.
But it's him and he's so good at what he does. And he's so passionate about these things that it's like, no, he won't hear me say 90. I mean, it's
how much of a buffer do you have a Kyle buffer?
Oh,
do you say 90 but it's actually
it's 2 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, two minutes.
Yeah, for sure. You need the buffer. Or you know, sometimes I'll tease and be like, all right, we have 90 seconds here, and then 20 seconds will go by, be like, okay, a minute left, and I just kind of cut it off to kind of make it go quicker.
But
there's definitely yeah, I need some buffer time for sure.
For him especially. Yeah.
Especially for him because, again, he's so into it that it's like, I know that this is the best thing.
Yes.
So I don't want to cut it off. But, again, there's certain things that you just can't get around. There's times, there's commercials. It's set in a certain way that you have to work too. You have to do what I have to do for that.
It's cool to hear you talk about all this because you have been at the network. Actually, we've all been at the building in Los Angeles for like
18.
Because we left the show when my youngest was born, right? So she's 19 months old. Yeah. So that means we've been there for 14 months, pretty much.
14 months.
So but before that, you worked on Good Morning Football since what year?
2018.
Oh my gosh.
And Good Morning Football originated first season 2016.
Yeah.
I joined in 2018 as an intern. So that was actually my first position on the show as an intern. And back then there was Good Morning Football weekend.
Right.
There was a weekend show. So I was doing.
Let me guess. Colleen.
Yes.
Garofalo.
Yes.
M. Rob.
Yes.
I don't know the fourth.
Fourth on the first season was Steve Smith, Sr.
Oh, right.
Second season, D'Angelo Hall came in.
Uh-huh.
But it was the weekend. And it didn't work on the weekend because there's just so many other football things on the weekend that just didn't really, you know, catch on the way you were hoping it would. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't good.
You worked on both?
Well, yeah, I worked on both.
Oh, wow.
As an intern. So I was doing about 6 days a week, which I wanted to at the time. Yeah, I was an intern and at that point
knew the
like,
TV gotta do it.
That's funny because back then I would like I didn't have to be until 9, but I would go in at like 7 and act like I was like working. Well, not act like I was, but it's like I was going to be there at 7 just to make sure I was the first person they saw when they walked in, even if I wasn't working.
Great.
You know what I mean?
Great.
So
totally.
But yeah, it was GMFB weekend, which didn't catch on. Good Morning Football was already established.
Good
Morning Football weekend just didn't catch on the way it
should.
But yeah, I was an intern on Good Morning Football. You know, right place at the right time, our social media person was leaving and I snuck into that role.
Nice.
As a social media producer, turned to graphics.
And when you were doing social at the time, was that not only social that was going out on the show, but were you also getting stuff to put on the air?
Yes,
from social.
Yeah. So taking things tweets, Instagram, videos from social media onto the show.
Yeah.
And then also taking things from the show and putting them on our social media.
Got it.
So I was doing both at the time. And it was only a one-man show. It was only me at the time.
Wow.
Because even though we were part of NFL Network, we were kind of in our own bubble.
Yes.
NFL Network was LA, but we were at NFL Films in Mount Laurel.
The show was produced out of Films. And mm-hmm. also Michael Davies, who's like a guy we talk about mm-hmm. a lot on the show, who Kyle calls the godfather. Yeah. The godfather of the show.
Yeah.
He has this production company called Embassy Row. And he's the executive producer of like Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And Andy Cohen's
yeah.
Watch What Happens Live.
Yep.
Somebody called you an OG member of GMFB. That's so cool. It's exactly right. And yep. so you guys worked for Michael.
Yes.
Yes.
So we worked for Michael. Michael is the reason Good Morning Football exists.
Yeah.
Like he is the godfather of Good Morning Football and he's a powerful name in television. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we were Good Morning Football and
then you went from social to
graphics. And when I say graphics, I mean when you're watching the show and at the bottom it says, you know, who's the top five NFL teams?
Throw down Thursday.
You know, the topics, the stats.
So you're sitting at a computer. What is it? Is the computer called something special? Isn't it called?
It's a Viz. It's a Viz. Like the Viz operator. So Viz is like the system that we use to make graphics.
So because we do this, mm-hmm. one of the charms of our show, I'm mm-hmm. sure the Viz ops don't think it's very charming, but one of the charms of our show is like, we will ask to change graphics live and be like, wait, no, that's supposed to
change that word. Yeah.
Or like if we have a bit going, that's like built in, you guys start to do it, which
that makes our show.
Okay.
That's when we're in control room. And when something like that happens, we're all like, yes, got it. Fist bumping the Viz op. Cause like that's, it can be intimidating to be like change. And it almost makes you feel like you did something wrong, but you didn't. But that's what makes our show charming is being able to do things like that and laugh about it because not other shows do that.
Yep.
Where if there was like a mistake on a bar or something, they think, oh, that's wrong. Oh, that's bad. With us, it's like, let's point it out and laugh about it because we're human and we mess up a word sometimes. Yep. So
one of my favorite like moments in the last couple of years was, do you remember that day that Kyle had that graphic come up where it was like a power rank of some sorts, the content of it doesn't matter, but do you remember how huge of a picture they used on him?
Yeah.
And he literally, he was like, the whole segment became him just tearing himself to shreds.
Like, why did we use that picture?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was like, why is my belt buckle as big as the Eagles logo? Yeah. God, it was so funny. And you just know the graphics person's probably like, can you stop just ripping my graphic to shreds? But
that's the charm of the show. It really is.
Yeah.
But and it's difficult too, because when you think about it, like you're typing so many words.
Yeah.
It's a natural, you want to get everything right.
Sure.
You want to be perfect per se. But when you're looking at that many words and typing that many letters, sometimes you're going to mix letters up by accident and this and that. So they put so much pressure on ourselves, and our biz ops at the show are top notch. They're the best. Even the best people make mistakes sometimes.
Yep.
So it's like they put so much pressure on themselves to do everything right, and they try so hard. So again, it stinks when it comes off like we're, you know, pointing out the mistake.
But
what they've come to learn is that that's what makes our show our show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a team effort. So you went, okay, so graphics. Then what else?
So then I did graphics for 3 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you started to branch out while
into
doing
producing.
Graphics.
Yes. And what I liked about graphics was that's when I started, in a way, learning a lot of other positions on the show.
Yeah.
Like social was social.
Yeah.
Graphics, I'm now working with sponsors because all the graphics have to have the right sponsors on there.
Right.
I'm working with the Tate team because my graphics need to match up with the Tate team. So in that position, I learned what everybody else on the show is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the strength. And that's, you know, we have 2 producers on our show, McLean and Domer. Their strength is that they know everything.
Yeah.
So many things have to come together to make the show work.
Yep.
And the best producers know how every single role works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their strength. Like that's what makes you the best producer, when you know how everything comes together to make it happen.
Yep.
That's what graphics did for me.
Right.
And then when I came out here, I came out as a segment producer.
Yes.
So segment producer and producer is a little different. Segment producer is really like you're focused on your segment.
You are building out those lines on the rundown for Angry Runs, for example.
So
and you want to package it. Like the best segment producers are like, here is my segment. It's every piece of video
Hand
is done. Here are the graphics.
Yes.
They're done. And the scripts are written.
Yes.
It's done. And you're and the line producer is like, oh my gosh, thank you so much.
It's so good. And I mean, from top to bottom. So how do you intro the segment? Mm-hmm. What graphics are needed in the segment?
How do you bump it?
How do you leave the segment?
And how do you come into it? That's what I was thinking about. Like,
in
someone has a really good, somebody has like a really good segment, and the segment before we have bumps to break.
Yeah.
I always used to think that the segment producer they should be writing their own bumps in the other segments because then you know
how
content.
To transition into the next segment. Yeah. So the segment producer, from top to bottom, the end bump, which you just mentioned coming into the segment, what does every topic bar say? What does every piece of video say? What does every word in the script say? They're building the entire, like you said, the whole package, and then they're handing it off to the line producer. I mean, the line producer, we work almost on every
segment. You have to triple check everything.
We work on every segment.
Yeah.
But the segment producer has specific segments that they're in charge of.
Yeah.
That they produce out.
Yeah.
And the line producer oversees all the segments. Mm-hmm. And then what I say is my strength as a line producer is executing.
Mm-hmm.
Taking what the segment producer does and executing it on the show.
Yes.
That's where I feel, like I said, timing is the most important, but you got to be able to execute it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I need to work with that segment producer to know every aspect of the segment. Why did you put this tape here? Why did you write this script?
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to know those things, because as a line producer, I want to be able to answer every single question.
Yeah.
Why is this tape here? Where's this tape? Why'd you use this? And I want to have all those answers.
Because control rooms are built like stadium seating, at least in ours, there's three rows. Yeah. I'm sure other ones there's many more, whatever.
But it's pretty similar.
The responsibility really does roll downhill and it will land on the line producer that's like on that day.
Yeah. If you're, we say in the chair as the line producer, you're in the chair, that's your show that day, and you better have all the answers and you better know what's going on. Yep. And if not, then get out of the chair.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Question from the chat. Mm-hmm. What dessert did we get at dinner last night? So Gino was at this dinner, this dessert? Work dinner that I was at.
Yeah.
I left. We had a plan.
We had a plan.
Speaking of execution.
That was poorly executed for me.
Poorly executed the plan. So Gino and I, it did.
Yes.
Flew together, Tuesday and the Wednesday to Madrid. And then we worked a little bit yesterday, and then we got ourselves the best sangria. The first one was the best one.
Yes, the first one was
at like 5 o'clock. We were like, we went to dinner, just us, which was lovely. And then we received a text.
Oh, the burrata was delicious. So good.
We received a text like that. We had some coworkers at a different place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I are like, I don't want to go to a sit-down dinner. I just want to see some people and be able to leave.
Yeah,
we
walk into this restaurant
and it is full blown. Here are your assigned seats. You are sitting after the dinner.
Sit down.
Sit there
and stay there.
We had this plan. Yeah. Like I was going to go do no breaks and I was going to try to talk you into it. You're at a different hotel than me.
Yeah.
And I was, you were like, perfect. We'll be there for an hour and then we'll leave.
Yeah.
She gets seated next. She's talking to somebody. Yeah. We're both busy. This, that. My phone alarm goes off. Got to get in the Uber to go do no breaks.
Yeah.
And I get up to leave and you look at me and you're like, where are you going?
Wait,
I just showed you the clock. And I was like, I have to go. It's 9:40.
I was so unprepared.
And so
unprepared.
I left. You told me to Irish goodbye. It's actually not one of my strong suits. I was like, Gina said.
Yeah.
So then I did came back. I did come back.
Yeah. So it doesn't really count.
People in the chat were like, come back. Yeah. They were telling me.
That's so funny. It's one of those things where like, at first we're so tired. I don't even know how many hours we've been up.
Yeah.
Now we have Simpson Gray, which could put me right to bed. But then when you're there, you lose track of time. So Jamie, you went to go do the podcast and you came back and we were like,
It was like, hey, it was like 30, 35
welcome
minutes.
Welcome back.
So then what was the dessert? Oh, they had that ice cream was amazing.
Oh, the chocolate ice cream.
Yes. It tasted like a fudge ice cream. Oh,
yeah.
That was like a Spanish restaurant, wasn't it?
And I will say, the shrimp tacos were fire too.
You had shrimp tacos?
I had one. Mm-hmm. It was so good. I didn't need it because I wasn't hungry, but it was there.
I know.
But I will say, when I got in my room, they had little sweets on the table for me. They had a mini lemon meringue pie.
Oh,
with the marshmallow.
So that's what she had for dessert.
Lemon meringue. And see, I don't even want the crust. I just want the meringue in the middle.
Really?
Yeah. With the marshmallow topping.
Why?
I just don't need the crust.
Man,
I just don't need it.
I'm a crust girl. I'm a texture.
I don't want it. I want a spoon and the lemon meringue and the and that's it.
Wow.
I don't need the crust.
Are you like a lemony person?
Oh, I love lemon. I love lemon. Yeah.
Wow.
Lemon desserts, lemon drinks. All of it. Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, I love one.
Yes, I did. I did go back and,
Jamie came back and then
rescued her.
Yeah.
And then this is, to be a self-aware human, I think it's like a highly skilled thing.
Yeah.
The one thing I am self-aware about is that I know that if I am essentially let loose for too long, like there's no looking
back.
There's
no stopping.
Like I should have come back to this room, done no breaks, closed the camera, gone to bed. The bed was right there.
Yeah.
It wasn't talking to me enough to convince me to go. Plus, I did feel badly for ditching you. So I went back. And then I was out till 3 a.m.
Yeah. You went longer than I did.
Yes.
I hit a wall.
Yeah.
And then still went for 3 more hours.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I was at a hookah bar at 3. I was not doing the hookah.
You said a hookah bar?
Yeah.
Piano bar. No, it is.
Piano bar, then a hookah bar.
No, not at all.
First of all, I've never been in a hookah bar.
Yeah.
It was dead empty. Wednesday night. Good. Why would it be full? That's fine. But it was open and it was close. And a couple of us went. Piano bar was cool.
Very cool.
But the hookah bar had a pool table. So I played some pool last night.
Oh.
I did lose for our team though. I put the white ball in the hole.
Oh.
Then we kept scratch. Is that what that's called?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. That's it. So, and then today was a crazy day. We went up and.
What was today? Oh, we did the show today.
Right. Hair and makeup. I had a bunch of player calls.
Yeah.
I was just called GMFB, no breaks. GMFB.
Yeah.
Then we came back, more calls, and then we just went to a fan fest, which was cool.
Awesome. Dolphins are doing it up for the fans. That was pretty
cool. The home team always, like,
yeah, practices. That was cool. It was. It was actually more than I was expecting it to be. There was people out there, music, dancing. Yeah. It was, I mean, again, that's why you come to these things.
I know.
I'm like,
I know.
You know, we're working, but when you're in a different place in this experience, it doesn't feel like work. It just, but we are doing hard work.
Yeah.
Like, not to, I don't want to diminish the work that we're doing by having so much fun.
No.
It goes together.
It's busy.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, we could have just gone to the fan fest. It had like all these
activities.
Yeah. Sorry. I was reading
this. No, I was trying to think of what's the word.
The throwing, the kicking, the route running.
Yeah, I'm mad that the catch it was closed. They had one of those big,
like almost like an air
landing pads.
Yeah,
where they throw it and you have to dive in.
We met our friend John.
Oh, John.
We met an 88-year-old Dolphins fan,
season ticket holder,
John Bartel.
Yes,
John Bartel, 88 years old, flew over here with his son John, what I assume to be John Jr. or something, John number, whatever.
Well, JJ.
Yep, exactly. And oh, the sweet old man. Well, first of all, we saw him take a photo on the Dolphins logo. Like
he told us not to stand on it.
Is that what it was?
Yes, he was saying you can't stand. Don't stand on the logo. Yeah. That's what he was saying.
And then someone took his picture, and he was like,
"Yeah,
he looked so jacked." And I was like, "Please speak English, just so I can interview you. Because if you're going to speak Spanish with me, that would be cool too. But I would understand you, and then I would
just talk that way." Yeah, but he did.
He 88. He traveled here. He was spry.
Oh, he was having a good time.
He had great. So we did a little interview. I think we're going to post it on the GMFB.
Yeah, it was a good one too.
Yeah, it was. So that was it. Now no breaks. Now we're going to go to bed.
Did you get a chance?
What is that? Air fryer at the Santiago Bernabeu. I don't know what that is.
We haven't been to the stadium yet.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go tomorrow.
Wait. There's an NFL fan shop in there. We should go tomorrow.
We should do that. Yeah, we're going to check it out. Content. Produce the content. This is GMFB Gina. That's what she does. When you see her on the TikTok, G produces. Go check it out. And if you want any other TV questions answered, put it on her stuff. That was it. That was no break.
That was fun. Now.
I know, right? We make it easy breezy.
I was nervous.
You actually, trivia. We do a lot of trivia on GMFB. Yeah. You are my first like non-recurring, like real guest.
Wow.
So when we're doing this years from now, I'll put that up. And when I have a future trivia segment, and I'll be like, it was GMFB Gina.
That's what they call me.
Yes. Not really. We call you
Jay.
Jay. All right. That's it. Goodbye. No breaks to Jay.
Bye.
Bye. We're doing the millennial thing.
Whatever. Bye. I can't help it.